from the children's sermon we've gathered that today is Trinity Sunday. And one of the many things that I like about our church body is our observances and celebrations of the church's calendar. For many mainline churches, today what stands higher on their radar are services like Good Friday, Easter, and Christmas. And some even question the significance of the Apostles' Creed being said in the worship service or the Nicene Creed. And because they don't see it holding any kind of strong emphasis or place in the worship service. And there are even some mainline churches today that wouldn't even read the Bible during the service. No wonder why many Christians today have very little understanding of the doctrine of the triune God. And it's important to the church that we understand these things and how important it is for us to understand how God works in our time and age and how God works in the church. But may I submit to you also that this is one of the many subjects that distinguish the church or the Christian church from other faith-based establishments. Our belief in the doctrine of the triune God. Man has in ages tried to use common sense in their understanding of a complex God. This is one of the many reasons why we have so many different religious sect groups today that were formed by human understanding or human reasoning. And just to name a few of them, we have like the Muslims, who believe that God is one and he has no son. He's one God, he has no son, and that the Holy Spirit is a creation of God, and that Jesus Christ is not his son but one of the prophets. Judaism does not consider Jesus as the Son of God. And as seen in the gospel text this morning, where they are arguing with him about who he is and who he claims to be. You know, we see this in Judaism. And this is the reason why, as a matter of fact, sadly, they are still waiting for the Messiah to come. Jehovah's Witnesses do not consider the Holy Spirit as God or a person, but rather a force. That Jesus was God's first creation and he is not God. You come to the Mormons, they believe that both Jesus and the Holy Spirit are separate entities from God the Father. So then along this line, you have another group of Jesus followers or the Christian church saying there's no need for observance of the church's calendar today or the reciting of the creeds in the worship services. So as we look at the beliefs and practices of all these faith-based groups, we can truly see why Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, that for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. And that because of this reason, it is why people are trying to use their own common understanding to understand God. The one who created the universe, as we say it, or we believe it, the one who created you and myself. We try to use our own common understanding to understand how he functions and put him into our minds. And our minds not big enough to comprehend God. This is the reason why we need faith. We need to be walking in faith to understand who God is. So we celebrate Trinity Sunday to remind ourselves that the apology of our faith still stands the same today as it did from the day of the early church. And this is why we chose for a theme today, God in three persons. We did not choose a particular text for this message since we will be using different passages this morning. So in each of our readings for today, we find some description of the Trinity. Like in the first reading from Proverbs chapter 8, verses 22 and 23, it speaks of how Jesus was begotten of the Father before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world was laid, Jesus Christ was begotten. He was not made. He was not created, as we read this morning in the Nicene Creed. He was not created, but he was begotten of the Father, according to the Nicene Creed, before all worlds. And this text alludes to that this morning, that Jesus Christ was begotten of the Father. In John 8:58, here Jesus talks about his existence before Abraham was. He says, before Abraham was, I am. Abraham existed in time, Jesus is saying, in other words. And he's saying, but he, Jesus, exists in eternity. And that's what the word I am is about. It is talking about a continuous existence. He did not say before Abraham was, I was, but he says before Abraham was, I am. He's talking about a continuous existence. So Jesus exists in eternity. And then this text alludes to exactly what we are talking about this morning. And then in the book of Acts, we find Peter, who denied Jesus three times during the time when he was arrested, now raising his voice to address the crowd on the streets of Jerusalem. This is immediately after the Holy Spirit had come upon them. When the Holy Spirit arrived, he gave them the power and the boldness that they needed to do what they could not do before he came. And so in the three texts this morning, we see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is in here. So God has always been in our world as one God with three distinct personalities. God in three persons, blessed Trinity, as the songwriter writes. So let's see God at the beginning of time. In the beginning of time, in Genesis 1:26, God says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. He uses the pronoun us in this text. And for many people, or many theologians, or some theologians, will interpret this as God speaking to angels. But we cannot agree with this because angels, we know, do not create. But instead, angels were created by God. So because they were created by God, God cannot be speaking to his created creatures to go and create. He can only speak to us to go and perform a particular task. And we are servants of God. His creatures are servants of him. We cannot create. The only one person that creates is God. He is the only one who is able to create. He could not be talking to another God, because for him to talk to another God would mean that there is another like him. And we know that there is no God like our God. Like the Bible tells us, amongst the gods, who is like you, who is glorious in holiness and fearful in praises and doing wonders amongst his people? Only God does that. There is no other one like him. So when he says, let us make man in our image and likeness, even though using this pluralistic form, he is talking to himself, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22, the Lord writes, the Lord brought me forth as the first of all his works before his deeds of old. This is Jesus speaking in this text. And he did not say, I was created, but he says, I was brought forth. So he comes out of God. But let us now look more intently at the Genesis account of creation. In this account, we can see that all three persons of the Godhead were present before anything was made that was made. In Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." In this text, the word God is speaking about God in three persons, speaking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, created the heavens and the earth in the beginning. So God designed, God the Father designed exactly what he wanted. And after he gave a description of what it would be like, work begun. Let's look at verse 2 of Genesis 1. It says, "Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." Now you notice in the text that before God said anything or did anything, that the Spirit of God had to move. When you look at this part of the text, it reminds you about our new birth. It reminds you about the time when God came into our world to bring life to humanity. And he tells the disciples while they were waiting in the upper room not to do anything but to wait for the promise of the Father. And the promise of the Father was the Holy Spirit. It was his Spirit coming into our world and coming into our lives. So they had to wait in that upper room. It was like when creation was about to be created. Creation had to wait until the Spirit of God hovered upon the waters and the darkness before anything was formed that was formed. When Jesus says to you and I, my friends, that apart from me, you can do nothing, he's speaking from a spiritual context. He's telling you and I that we cannot do the will of God without God. We cannot do the things of the Spirit without God. Without God, we will fail. Without God, we are like a ship without a sail. So we need God in our lives. And he comes in our world today in person of his Holy Spirit. And this is why it is needful that we recognize the presence of God's Spirit in our lives. So the Spirit is hovering upon the world. Look at verse 3. In verse 3, the Bible says in Genesis 1, verse 3, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light." Here is the Son of God present at creation. And how we know this? Look in St. John, the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word." All right? The Word that is spoken, "Let there be light. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." Not just that, but look at that. Continues, it says, "And the Word was God." This is where the mind of man gets messed up. The Word, it says, was with God. Then it says the Word was God. How can the Word, be with God and then the Word be God at the same time? But what it is explaining here is that in the beginning, the Word was with God. When God decided to create creation, Jesus was present at that time, is what the text is saying. And not just that he was present, but Jesus is God. All right? He is God. And we see this in the text. Now, let me make this more clear to you. Look at verse 2 of 1 John 1. It says, "He was with God in the beginning." Now, the verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the what? The Word." In verse 2, it gives you a pronoun of who the Word is. Now, this Word is a person. He. It is talking about Jesus. All right? He was with God in the beginning. So when Jesus says to the Jews this morning, "Before Abraham was, I am," this is exactly what he's talking about. "I was there. I was there at the beginning of creation. Matter of fact, I brought creation into existence. I was there with the Father." In verse 3, it says, "Through him," getting more intense, you see another personal pronoun, "through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made." So without Jesus, text is telling us, nothing that we see now in our world was created without him. He was present there, and he brought forth these things as the Word was speaking. Now look at verse 14a of John 1. It says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among men. So the same one who was there in the beginning of time, all right, put on human flesh and came into our world. And he came with the same word that was there in the beginning that brought forth life and brought forth creation. It's the same word that came to establish itself among us. He is the living word. And before you this morning is the written word that is coming to you with power and authority. The same word, my friends. So in closing of this sermon, this is a very short sermon for today, all right? At the baptism of Jesus, I want to give you a few passages where God appeared in his Trinity or triunity. So at the baptism of Jesus in Matthew 3, verses 16 and 17, he says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and enlightened on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. So here we see the three persons present at one time during the time of Jesus' baptism. Jesus was baptized. He was there present. And the Holy Spirit comes descending like a dove on him. And then a voice speaks from heaven, which is the voice of the Father speaking and saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Here is the promise Jesus made to his disciples. Look at John 14, verse 16. He says, and I will ask the Father. He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. That's the Holy Spirit, my friends. This is the Spirit that God, Jesus promised that the Father would send after he left. This is the Spirit that came and descended upon the disciples when they waited in the upper room. It is the same Spirit that is in worship this morning with you and I. It is the same Spirit that lives inside of us. This is the Spirit that is being spoken of this morning. And when Jesus talks about him, look in the text, he talks about another advocate. When he says another advocate, it means there was an advocate that was already here, and he's coming after that advocate. And the first advocate was Jesus Christ. So he went back, and God sent us another advocate, who is the Holy Spirit. And this is why he told his disciples, he is not going to tell you anything different from what I have already done or said. And so the Holy Spirit came in our world, and he is still here today and will be here until the end, the scripture says. So Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. A lot of people are carrying this idea around that the Holy Spirit is no longer present on the earth. If the Holy Spirit was no longer present on the earth, then the earth would have come to an end by now. Because Jesus promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you to the very end. So until the church is taken away from this earth, the Spirit of God is going to continue to be here. My friends, his work is to live inside of us and to carry out the administration of God in and through us and in and through the church. A church that is functioning without the Holy Spirit is a church that is dead. A church that is not alive, a church that is not living by the will and word of God. And this is the reason why it is needful for us to understand that God is here. As we lift up our voices in prayer and praise, we must know that even though we lift up our voices to heaven, but God is here with us. He is in our hearts. He is in worship this morning in person of his Spirit. And lastly this morning, the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verse 19. As Jesus says to his disciples as he was about to leave them, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in what? The name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Why in the three names? because they make up the Godhead. The three are one. And so as we worship in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, because the three are working simultaneously in our lives, even at this very moment. I pray this morning that as we celebrate Trinity Sunday, and as this sermon comes to you and me, we will begin to see God in a more clearer way as we look at him from a spiritual perspective and see him through the eye of the Spirit, see him through the eye of his Son, see him through the eye of the Father as well, as he comes into our world today to bring life and truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, amen. Amen.